Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
The Graham Norton Radio Show.
How exciting is this?
With Waitrose.
Over on Virgin Radio.
Up and at 'em, come on, things to do. Don't cheer, you'll just embarrass yourselves. We're not bored of it yet, so it's lovely. There's no stopping them. No stopping them.
The Graham Norton Radio Show.
Oh, there's nothing nicer, is there? Nothing nicer.
With Waitrose. Food to feel good about.
I mean, what's not to like?
Saturday and Sunday from 9:30.
Over on Virgin Radio.
Tom O'Dell's with us. Round of applause, please. Every time I just say the words Tom O'Dell from the control room.
Woo! Tom O'Dell!
What about this? What about this? Tom.
Tom.
Yeah, can you back Tilly up here, please? There's five of you and only one of her. One more time. Tom.
Tom.
Great. The album Black Friday is out today. It's gorgeous. I genuinely listened to it three times last night. I was overwhelmed by the sound of the first track, the sound of the album. I thought, here we go.
Yeah,
it's great, man.
Oh, wonderful. Yeah, no, it was a real labour of love. It's very gentle, I think, and it probably takes a few listens, but I'm really proud of it. And it's got lots of strings, lots of pianos, lots of guitars. And, I'm really proud of it.
I was very happy to be in its company last night.
Oh, that's lovely.
Your new album was great company for me last night.
Great.
And I love the fact you've left the orchestra tuning up in between the tracks.
Yeah. That was a kind of by accident.
Well, that was very Sergeant Pepper, I thought.
Yeah.
If you don't mind me saying.
Yeah, that is very Sergeant Pepper. We recorded 24 incredible string musicians in a studio called Angel Studios in London, and they were phenomenal. And it's kind of like this living entity on the album, this orchestra. They kind of come in and come out, and they push and pull, and there's moments of levity and then there's moments of kind of tension and stuff.
Yeah, I thought he was also quite Sun King-y, quite George Harrison-y.
Oh, nice.
Which I think you might like.
George Harrison.
Is that okay for me to say that?
Yeah. Yeah, it's wonderful. No, yeah, I was going to say my neighbour from where I live in London delivered a kind of ornament to George Harrison in the 90s.
Yeah.
And he cut away a little bit of George Harrison's, like, it's like a bush or something. And he's the sweetest man. He lives on my road. Honestly, whenever he stops to speak to me, I he's just the kindest, most generous soul. And he gave me, he's kept it for 30 years and gave me a bit of it in a little plastic bag.
Has he grown it?
No, he's just kept it in a little tiny little plastic bag, and he's given it to his favourite people, and he gave me a little bit.
Because depending on what sort of...
you can grow it like a fern, I think it is. Or something.
Yeah, but depending on what sort of, what's the word, not sequence, what phase George was going through at the time, clipping a bit of a bush from George's garden... Could have meant many things.
I know.
Ensued. And plenty of bushes in that garden.
There's plenty of bushes.
Have you been?
I've never been.
Have you been past it?
It's near you, right?
It's very near me, yeah.
Yeah.
I go past it a lot.
Really?
Friar Park, yeah. Everybody knows he lives there.
Really?
Well, he doesn't live there, but he's Olivia
lives there. I like the fact he got to a point where he said, I just would rather never leave this place.
Yeah, apparently it's magical. Never been.
Yeah.
Jules Holland's been loads of times.
Really?
And sort of vicariously, therefore, I feel like I've been a bit. Because I've been to Jules. That's pathetic, isn't it?
Yeah.
All right, so we'll have some songs from Tom's brand new album. It's out today and it's gorgeous. It's so gorgeous. We're going to kick off, however, with a sort of olive branch to people we want to get across the line. A cover version of...
Bruce Springsteen, Dance in the Dark.
Let's do it.
Can't start a fire, sitting around crying on a broken heart. This gun's for hire. And even if we're just dancing in the dark.
Woo! Yes! Woo! Oh, dear. Woo! So was wow. so, he's so casual about the whole thing. Yeah. So he's like, beep. So there you go, that's that. And the little princess down a look up through his fringe. Like, is that all right? That was, yeah, it was amazing.
Oh, thanks. great song.
Where does he rate Springsteen?
What, for me?
Yeah.
I mean, I think he's probably the best, isn't he?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I mean, I saw him last summer. I took the band and Jim Burr and a few others and just felt happy for like 3 weeks afterwards.
Hyde Park?
Yeah, Hyde Park, yeah.
Wow.
Phenomenal.
And you had a good time last year on the road. I kept seeing all these things on Instagram. You had some good gigs last year, didn't you?
Yeah, it was great. Yeah, we toured America and we toured quite a lot of Europe and yeah, we're touring the UK and Europe again this year. The band is just getting better and better and better.
It's how old are you now?
I'm 33, getting
how
very
dare
old.
You? TomOdell.com for information, tickets, Black Friday tour. Black Friday's out today, and we'll have the title track in a second or two from Black Friday. It's gorgeous, gorgeous. I can't wait to hear it again today, honestly.
Oh, thank
can't
you.
Wait to get on with my weekend again.
Thank you very much.
No, I really mean it, Tom. I really, really mean it. You know I love the Brands of you anyway. I'll tell you that every time you come on the show. And now,
well, this is the best radio show in the world. So
I bet you say that to all the girls.
I don't say that to anyone.
Since we last spoke in person, yes. You have become married.
Yes, yes, that's true. Yeah,
married. Odell is what we have on our hands here. How was the wedding?
It was awesome. Yeah, it was perfect.
Did you sing? Did you play?
I didn't sing and didn't play, but we had so much music. Lots of friends sang, and we had like a big old jazz band. People danced till the early hours. It was perfect.
You very kindly invited my wife and myself to come along. We couldn't come. We genuinely couldn't come, right? Now, I've got to fess up here. I don't like going to weddings. I think they're too long. I think they're really indulgent. Maybe it's because I've been to three of my own and I'm weddinged out. Maybe that's the reason. But we genuinely wanted to come to yours, but we genuinely couldn't come. Otherwise, yours would have been one I would... Do you not think so about that about weddings?
Yeah.
They're getting longer as well, aren't they, weddings?
Yeah, they
it's like
are.
2-3 days, hotels.
Stagging the hens on the weekend or a week sometimes.
I mean, seriously, come on.
Yeah. We tried to just do a big party. That's what that's
which is
what
good.
Ours was. Yeah, it wasn't too formal.
Fun and fine. And you're still together?
Still together.
Congratulations. So it's been how many months?
Clinging on by my fingernails.
A couple of months now? We were talking today. We started the show off by saying... A friend of mine says, and he knows he's older than me even, and he says, you know, you can't really do a good deal with a bad person. And I thought, that's interesting, can you? Because, you know, and I thought, I've done a few deals with pretty nefarious individuals, you know, and you think, well, I know they're not that good a person, but, you know, to be honest, I don't really care about that at the moment because it's more important that we get the deal done and the deal's good for us. But thinking about it, they have come back to bite me a bit on the bum, those particular deals. Mm. And I thought, and the other thing he says, speaking to you getting married, he says that, and he says on from that, he said it's a bit like marriage because when you decide to be with, or be, you know, not getting married, but being with somebody forever, potentially, that... You okay, it's not going to cost you anything. It might cost you something if it doesn't work out. It might cost you something if it does work out, but it's, financially. But it is your time, and it's the most important investment you're going to make, and we just don't think about it like that. And he says, you know, you can't do a good deal with a bad person. He says, if you're embarking on a business relationship, treat it as a marriage. And if you're embarking upon a marriage, sometimes, in certain aspects, treat it as a business because it helps you to figure out if it's right or not.
Mm. Beautiful.
It's not that romantic.
No,
but in the
long, I'm pleased you didn't say that on the wedding day.
But in the long, exactly. That's why I didn't come. Chris, could you say a few words? You really would have won that, Tom.
It's a business relationship. No, it's yeah. I agree with that. I agree with that. She also is, you know, it's probably a bit patriarchal, but like the whole thing of like behind every good man there's a great woman. I mean, Georgie is just phenomenal. She is, I was going for a bit of a weird creative like period and actually with my head as well when I met her and I was unsure. I lost the thing where I realised what was good and what was bad. I lost the thing that...
Your barometer.
Yeah, I didn't know, and it's a horrible thing as an artist to get to a point where you don't know what you're doing and you lose that compass that is so vital, I think. And... I played her a bunch of songs quite early on in our relationship and like there was a bunch of songs I wrote that were trying to please other people and I played her, there was one in there that was just like, I played right at the end that I thought was too indulgent and was like my thing, but I thought she would. I just presumed she would hate it. And she listened, didn't say much about all of them. And the last one, she was like, "That's the song. Do more of that.
Yeah.
Do more of you." And it's like, I don't know. That sums her up perfectly, Georgia.
Wow.
She's
cool.
She helps. I don't know. She's just incredible. She inspires me.
So here's me listening to the album last night, knowing that you're freshly married.
Yeah.
And it's called Black Friday. I'm thinking, oh, is it already over? You know. And then I listen to some of the lyrics because I'm so stupid. I'm thinking, hang on, this is about you're never going to see this person again. And I'm thinking, I'm fascinated by this. I'm fascinated with comedians and jokes and things like that. And I'm fascinated with people I know who are brilliant songwriters and artists about who are you writing about on the album. Because if it's a breakup song, you just got married. And if it's, and are they about you or are they about other people or is it about more formative years in your life?
It's, you know what? I think a lot of the album is more about letting go of a period of time, but also about my relationship with myself. I think there's so much of like the song Black Fridays, you look out at the world around you and you look out with love and adoration and compassion. And then I had a tendency to look inward with not that. I would look inward with criticism and judgment. And I think a lot of it is a journey of trying to get better at that, trying to be equal the way you look out and the way you look in. And I don't know, that's a very vague answer, but
no, it's not at all. I get it completely.
Yeah.
Because sometimes you can't do anything but look in it, and it's the last thing you should actually be doing for what you're trying to achieve, which is just feeling lighter and freer and being able to breathe again. And that's why it's really important. They say the most selfish thing you can do is help other people.
Yeah.
Because it just gets you out of yourself and then you get some perspective and then you can crack on again.
Yeah, beautiful.
And that's what she gave you, isn't it, with that song?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Yeah. It's also interesting, just like as a writer, you know, I'm six albums in, you have a kind of personal life and you have a writer's life. And I think the two occasionally cross each other at a moment and, you know, it links up. But often my imagination is kind of on its own journey and it's not necessarily reflective of my personal life. And and it sort of gets, you know, periods of, you know, prolific creativity, and then it gets periods of not so prolific and dries up. And I don't know, it's interesting. I think a lot of my work is also inspired by like observation, and I think songwriting is really about like empathy and trying to, whilst you might be singing through like the eye, and you're often, it's a really deep exercise in trying to understand what it's like to be someone else and trying to understand what it's like to be.
See my wine glass of this. Okay, so here you have your age and you have your experience, and what happens is they come together through your formative years, your first few albums, then there's the middle bit, there's a pivotal bit in the middle, and then what happens is the second half of your life holds up literally, you know, a glass to your formative experiences, and this is when you can start to enjoy it a bit more.
I like that.
Do you like that?
That's great.
You can have that, mate.
That would be great. I'd like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Lots of love for you, Tom, coming in. Ross in Basel says, "Morning, Chris the Gang. My wife, Belle, and I went to see Tom Adele at the Montreux Jazz Festival last year." What a place to come and see you. What a laugh. And he had the band. He and the band were absolutely amazing. Can't wait to hear the new album. Well, it's out today, so you can hear it now. Lynn in Folkestone. "Tom Adele live is the best. A friend and I saw him at a very small gig years ago. It was so incredible. We both just looked at each other and knew how lucky we were to be there. We burst into tears, hugged, and just felt happy to be alive. Never forget it. Thank you, Tom."
Oh,
it's cool, isn't it?
Yeah.
Matthew, "Tom Adele says, absolutely smashed that cover. Shivers. Hadn't actually appreciated how strong that opening verse is until it slowed down a little bit." Well, he's your man for that. Right, should we have Black Friday then?
Yeah, sure.
The album is out today. By the way, it's called Black Friday. That doesn't mean it's like discounted. It's not that kind of Black Friday.
Amazon deal.
No. All right.
Yeah, there's no discounts here. Not yet. Not yet, anyway.
Unless required. Yeah. We'll see how sales go.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It's all in my head. It's all in my mind. I see the darkness where you see the light.
Wow.
Wow.
Wow. Tom, that's what happens when you don't try and people please.
Yes.
Isn't it?
Yes.
That's where it comes from.
Yes.
Wow, she was right, wasn't she?
She was right.
She was so right. That was great. And it's so cool to have you singing a sort of fresher song live, because I can see that you're still meeting it at the pass, aren't you?
Yes,
you're still learning to shake hands with it.
Yeah, and you're still very emotional, that song.
Yeah, totally. You're so raw, man.
Yeah, it's very. It gets me. It gets me every time.
Where did you go when you? Where were you then? Sort of two thirds into that.
I don't know. It's I'm not sure. And, you know, shut my eyes quite tightly. It's somewhere else.
I love the way it builds and it builds. You know, many of your songs, they start off by whispering to each other.
Yeah.
And then they have a sort of little huddle, you know, a couple of verses in. And then they say, should we go for it? And they just explode, don't
it's
they?
Definitely, you know, it's like a period of, you know, you've got to take flight. It's like, I imagine a paraglider sort of running down the hill.
Yeah, thinking, yeah.
Oh my God, should I do it? Should I jump?
Speed, yeah. And then you jump off and it's all right.
I mean, it can go wrong. It definitely goes wrong.
No, come on.
Occasionally.
How wrong does it go?
Well, I don't know. Occasionally, you know, you hit a note slightly badly.
So you see, I know because I've heard that song now four times, three right. times last night and yeah. once live. That for me, it's like, it is in my head. You know, it's right yeah. there. So
quite different like this in a way. It's like I play it quite a lot slower, I think, just to... It's like a different thing. That's what's so amazing about music. I've just been started reading this book about improvisation and about how, like, because over the years I've always, you know, when we play live, I change the songs quite a lot. And I've always slightly wondered whether that's bad and do the audience not like that? You know, do they want to just hear it like they hear on the record? When I start reading this book, it's like, it's weird. It's kind of a modern thing that we play songs the same each time.
Mm.
Music for 10,000 years was, each time you'd hear it, would be completely new. It would just be a song you would learn and everyone would interpret it in a new way. There would be no definitive performance. And I think there's something so inspiring about getting back to that.
Yeah.
About each time, because it completely makes you present, music. And that's what it should do. It shouldn't take you to a time before or a time in the future. It makes you completely in the moment. And it should always feel slightly improvised, I think.
That's why vinyl is making a comeback.
Yeah.
Because vinyl has this other element that it brings to each listen.
Yes.
Which is the surface noise
yes.
of life.
Yeah.
Via the stylus and the analog aspect of the vinyl.
Yes, absolutely.
Beautiful,
yeah.
isn't it?
Yeah.
All right, Harry.
Very good.
Okay, amazing, it's Tom and Harry. We're getting over handsome now.
Yeah, we are.
Okay, we might need to go to rehab.
The only good thing is, by 10 o'clock, they'll both be gone.
Gripes for that. All right. Never to be seen again. All right, more from Tom in a second or two. Tom O'Dell, brand new album. It's out today, Black Friday. For more about Tom and his forthcoming tour, TomOdell.com. Nice one, Tom. Thank you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Craving some great 80s music? Play Virgin Radio 80s Plus. I want your love. On DAB digital radio, on the app, on your smart speaker, and at virginradio80splus.co.uk.
I got my mind set on you.
Even if we're just dancing in the dark.
Love Chris Evans.
Woo!
Love the 80s.
Virgin Radio
80s Plus.
Okay, Vassos. By the way, before Vassos introduces our next amazing guest, can you stop, please? Please, listeners, can you stop WhatsApping us, telling us how amazing Tom O'Dell is? Because it's really getting on my nerves.
WhatsApp is about how amazing we are.
Yeah.
A bit. At least a bit.
We're on 5 days a week.
Yep.
He's had more texts and emails and WhatsApp saying how great he is in the last half an hour than we've had in 5 years.
It's true.
No, it is true, Tom. Wind your neck in,
it's
mate.
It's annoying.
Okay. Liked you up until this point. Not quite sure I'm going to like you anymore after this point. We need another guest who people might like a bit less. Just a bit less, please. That'd be great. Who might that be, Basil?
Our next guest is your favourite architect come TV presenter, come author, come all round, good egg. His new book, How to Build a Home, is out next week. So please welcome the brightest spark, George Clark.
All right, Georgie boy.
Hello, mate. How are you?
Finally, we meet.
I know, at last. Great. I've been trying to get on the show for ages.
Oh, you're always welcome.
I know.
I'm not joking.
I've just been, I'm filming a lot. That's
I know,
the
you are busy. You're globetrotting. You're all over the world. How is America? What have you been doing in America?
I've just been making a new series called George Clark's Adventures in Americana, all about American design, cars,
love
houses,
it.
The lot, fridge freezers even.
Yeah, they talk about design in America. I don't know if you cover this because I've not seen the show yet because it's not out yet, but they talk about Vietnam, the Vietnam War and American design. And basically, when the war on drugs happened as a resultant of the Nixon government,
yeah,
all design after that was just rubbish.
Yes.
And they're wondering if the two are connected. Like, you know, the dashboard of a Corvette was more almost as impressive as the Sydney Opera House.
Yeah, yeah.
And if you look at the design of American cars and buildings, circa 67 and after that, it just all got a bit more beige.
It's true. Well, you had that kind of post-war boom, you know, after the 50s, where there was all this positivity.
Technicolor,
great materials, yeah. Great innovation, great design. And it filtered through to everything, you know, yeah. Down to the American diner, burger joints, everything.
Yeah, it was
brilliant.
Yeah, I mean, for a jukebox, see a diner, for a diner, see a jukebox.
Yeah.
You know, and then the Corvette pulls up outside, and even the parking meters were gorgeous, weren't
they? Exactly. No,
and they sort of still are.
Stunning. No, they're stunning.
Gosh, you know.
There was one night when I was filming in LA, and we went down to this diner where they invented the double-decker burger at this one diner. And the diner was beautiful. The burger was beautiful. And then all these guys and all these women turn up on a Friday night with their classic kind of post-World War II cars. And it's just like a big drive-in and everybody hangs out and has a drink. And it's like, it's amazing.
There's that amazing feature-length documentary about one of the Apollo rockets. I can never remember which one it is. But it's all from footage. They've made a 90-minute feature out of the actual news footage of all the things that are going on. And one of the great things is when everybody turns up to park as near as they can to watch the launch, which is about 15 miles away. And it's like a sort of Woodstock wheels kind of situation.
Yeah.
But just the cars, you pause, you go, forget Apollo. Forget the fact they're about to send men to the moon. Look at what's going on anyhow.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And if you watch Monterey, you know, the Monterey documentaries, Rolling Stone documentaries.
I've not seen that.
Oh my gosh. It's the same vibe.
Yeah,
man.
It is.
Everything is beautiful.
Yeah, and the architecture's amazing and they do some wacky, weird stuff. I mean, it's a little bit like kind of Amazing Spaces on speed in America, to be honest with you. It's kind of off the wall. There was some mad stuff. I went to the desert in Palm Springs and someone had designed it. Well, I called it the kind of horizontal skyscraper because they're taking the idea of having this massive tall building and then turned it on its side in the desert. So it's just this like mirrored block.
Is it the invisible building?
Yeah, I've seen it. I mean, it's basically one giant swimming pool inside. It's off
the scale.
You love a bit of architecture, don't you?
Yeah, I'm into it. I'm a bit obsessed with that website. What is it? Modern House.
Modern House is
Modern House is the estate agent.
It's the estate agent. Yeah.
Mid-Mod is the other Instagram. Have you seen Mid-Mod?
I've not seen it.
Oh, Mid-Mod is off the chain, isn't it? You know about all this. I love architecture.
Good.
Frank Lloyd Wright.
Probably the best ever.
The best ever. Literally the best ever. His story's so tragic. Do you know his story?
Yeah, well, we actually, to be honest with you, when we did Americana, we kind of avoided some of the big, 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 super famous, iconic stuff because it's not a series for architects. It's not about the best buildings on the planet.
Yeah.
It was more about the more unusual, getting under the skin of it. You know, what's Americana design really about? So it's not just an architectural
And what
series.
Is it about, do you think?
I just think it's about beautiful design. The essence of it is about
positivity. Like,
it was like, for me, everything was super, super, super positive when you look at Americana design.
It's what kids would design.
Yeah, it was like dynamic. It was like the Jetsons combined with Frank Lloyd Wright. Do you know what I mean? It kind of mixes all of those things together.
You're so right.
I mean, they even call it kind of vroom architecture. As if it's
vroom?
Vroom.
That's cool, man.
Yeah, vroom architecture. Because it's all about being fast and dynamic. And you just think about the classic American motel.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a brilliant piece of architecture. You know, you drive up in your car,
George.
Celebrate the car at the front.
It's much more sort of lateral living, isn't it? Maybe just in California and stuff like that.
Yeah, well, it depends where you are.
Yeah.
There's a lot of vertical living going on in America as well. But
there's more space generally, isn't there? I suppose that's
the
point.
You've got 300 million people in a country, 50, 60, 70, 80 times the size of ours.
It's great. I've always said that's why Americans speak so loudly, and I'm not being trite. I think it's just because they live in a bigger place. They're playing a bigger theatre, Tom, if you
Well, they've
got
to shout to each other, you mean? They're so far
more
apart.
Or less. And there's a rhythm to the way they speak. Yeah. They have very musical voices, everybody in America. I can't wait for that show. When's that show
on? It's actually out. You've missed the first one, mate.
What?
It was on Sunday, yeah.
No
Sunday,
way.
Check that out. That sounds
exciting. Coming out.
Well, that's my weekend sorted.
Okay. You can watch on catch up, mate.
Brilliant. You're in to talk about how to build a home. We're talking about anything. I don't care because you're just great.
New book.
Little Experts, George Clark, How to Build a Home. First children's book?
It's my first kid's book, yeah. Okay. This is for like, this is 6 to 9 year olds. Really, really simple. I mean, I'm passionate about homes, home design, home innovation. I've got this home educational charity called Moby as well. So we do a lot of work with kids and using home as a vehicle to inspire them into design and changing their environment and really them defining what the future of home is for them. You know, so it's a very, very, very simple kids book, part of a series called Little Experts.
Nice. Incredible homes. Homes can be designed and built in all different shapes, sizes and colours. They can be square, long, round, anything. This is what makes architecture so exciting. And they do say the number one thing that affects people, you know, whether regardless of your age, regardless of whether you're entrenched or you want to change or you're being changed, is your environment. Whether it's your bedroom, whether it's the cupboard under your stairs, whether it's the four walls and the roof under which your mum and dad have to pay their mortgage.
Absolutely. And also, I think, you know, if you've got a decent roof over your head, it's like the foundation stone for everything. You know, everything else in life gives you a chance, basically. But also, I think there's a lot of housing that is a bit rubbish. You know,
without
if you look at a lot of big mass house building that's been done, you think, is that really the best that we can do for the environment and the way people live? And communities and things like that.
So, simpler lines, man.
Exactly. So you know, just inspiring kids to define the homes of their future is something I'm super, super passionate about.
Right, once again, Little Experts, George Clark, How to Build a Home.
Yep.
Marvellous materials. Give us your top three. Come on. In 2024, what should we be building our houses
from? Timber's the obvious one
because
it's the most sustainable one.
Don't burn it, build with it.
Exactly. I mean, timber is beautiful. You've got so many different timbers out there from so many different parts of the world. You can craft it in so many different ways. It can be the superstructure, it can be the final finishes, it can be all those things. I think that's my alarm gone off on my phone.
Is that to remind you what? Why have you set an alarm for 9 o'clock?
I've got no idea.
That's interesting, isn't it?
Is that the backup?
No, but by the way, what's he supposed to be doing at 9 o'clock? That, answer on a postcard, please.
My phone was turned off as well. Sorry about that.
9 o'clock alarm.
Anyway, that's just when you're going to cut me off, probably.
No, not at all. Not for a second.
Timber. That's a big one.
Yeah. I like a concrete floor. Am I allowed a concrete floor?
The thing, I think it needs to be a more ecological version of concrete.
All right, concrete looking floor.
That's good.
What's my substitute for concrete?
Do you know what? There's a new material called graphene. Have you heard about graphene?
No, but I like the sound of it.
So graphene is one of the most exciting new materials that's been discovered. It's basically carbon. It's like a single atom sheet material.
Right.
It's 200 times stronger than steel, 5 times lighter than aluminium.
Yes.
And it's a material that we're going to start adding to other materials to make them stronger. So you could put graphene in concrete to use less aggregate.
And do we pour that out? Are we pouring this onto our floor?
Kind of atomic, beautiful, mad, crazy material that you can just mix in.
Well, okay, I'm going to go with that. So that's two. And that's give two. Us another one.
Stone. I mean, stone's beautiful.
All right.
And the good thing about timber and stone is the materials you've used for thousands of years, they get better with age, and they're absolutely beautiful if they're well-crafted.
Thinking like an architect, when I used to play golf a lot, if I saw a field or a farmer's field, I'd just create golf holes in my head. I'd say, oh, that could be like Eamon Corner over there, or this could be my favourite hole at St Andrews there. When you look on a skyscape, a cityscape, like you can from where we are now, what a great vantage point.
Yeah.
Can you not just help yourself but look at the architecture, spot things, or can you give your eyes a day off?
I could never give my eyes a day off.
Really?
No.
It's
actually kind of slightly annoying. It's an occupational hazard, really. You just can't switch off from it because you kind of eat, sleep and breathe architecture. Yeah. So whether you're walking down the street, whether you're on holiday, I can never switch off from it ever.
Same with your music?
Maybe, yeah. No, I can enjoy music, actually, and I can separate it weirdly.
I can still enjoy it, but I can't really fully separate myself from it.
Do you have, like, a favourite building? You know, if I was to leave here today and go and see a building somewhere locally, have you got one that you really think is like...
So I would take you 5 minutes away from here to Lincoln's Inn Fields near Holborn Tube Station.
Right.
There was an architect called Sir John Soane, and he bought a house in the early 1800s, and then he bought the house next door, and he bought the house next door to that, and he turned all three of them into a place not just for him to live, but his architectural studio.
That's what you want, isn't it?
And
that's the dream.
It is
Beautiful.
Like a wonderland. Really? So when he transformed these existing buildings in the early 1800s,
yeah.
It was the talk of London.
Right.
Everybody wanted to see them. So triple height spaces, being able to see from one room through to the next, really kind
yeah.
of three-dimensional, kind of unbelievable architecture. One of the best houses in the world.
Is that, and is that your favourite period?
I love the Georgian period. I mean, right. Who doesn't love a Georgian house?
Yeah.
Yeah, especially if you're called George.
And I'm called George, yeah. And my son's called George.
There's
and my
narcissism
called
everywhere.
George,
you know,
my granddad was called George.
All right, so that was that was trailblazing back in the day. In your book, George Clark's How to Build a Home for Kids, Little Experts, I think for children of all ages, it's a great book.
It's out on the 1st of February, by the way.
Thank you. You can print your home nowadays. Can you actually?
3D
I know you can print cars. You can print cars.
Yeah,
you can print
cars. Print your house. Yeah, where, easily.
Who's been doing that where?
Really easy. Japan, they've been doing a lot of. Germany, they're doing a lot.
How big's the printer?
It's like this big kind of tube of toothpaste, you know, it's full of a material.
Right.
Quite often ecological materials are used. And it's called additive design. So you're literally just printing one layer on top of the next layer.
Right.
And you're building the main superstructure walls of your house.
What about these fold-out houses that we see on Instagram quite a lot? And they say they're the way forward. And you can drive this, you can have your house delivered and it folds out itself like some kind of magic jack in the box.
It's like origami.
And you can even get fold-out furniture that's in it.
Yeah,
How real are these houses? I know they exist because I've seen the prototypes. How close to coming to the market are they? Are they really the future? Why wouldn't they be the future?
They should be the future because it's really clever, really inventive design.
Mm.
We do a lot of stuff on Amazing Spaces, as you know, which looks at multifunctional design. How can you make spaces work harder? We did a vertically rotating house a few series ago.
Wow.
Because the idea was, like, let's say you're living by yourself in a house. You can only be in one room at the same time.
Yeah.
So why have a separate kitchen, dining, living room,
bedroom?
Oh, this
is good, isn't it?
You might as well just be in that one room. So it would vertically rotate, this cube would rotate, and every time it turned, it became a new room.
Right, that's
and that
so
was a
cool.
mad prototype.
That's how they work in theatre. It's called the revolve.
Yeah.
And that's
yeah.
how you set, you'd scene change pretty quickly.
Yeah, yeah, and I think we've got to come up with really inventive ways like that to make houses better, more affordable.
Mm.
Why build multiple rooms if you only need one or two?
That what about like tree houses and ice houses and things like that that we see around the world? And where's the most, if you had to move somewhere to have the most, the best opportunity of building the least inexpensive but gorgeous environment to live, where would you go?
Probably Denmark.
Tell us why.
Because the Danes are just brilliant.
They are, aren't they?
they're so annoyingly good.
They're annoying, aren't they?
And everything they do is really beautiful.
They're the national equivalent of Tom O'Dowd. Yeah. They're just really annoying because they're
so
good.
That's what it is.
So good and gorgeous and honest. You're so honest. I wish I could be half as honest as you.
Yeah.
God, is it easier to be honest in song than it is in real life?
Oh, gosh, much, much easier.
Should I give it a go?
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's go.
Honest architecture. Come on. Yeah. Where the soul. Because Tom says when he's writing from his soul, his songs are better, but he doesn't sometimes think that maybe that's what people want to hear. He's always wrong, thank God, and that he always, in the end, ends up recording them. What about honesty in architecture?
Yeah, but where I'm really jealous of a singer-songwriter is you can just sit there on your own and deliver that and just do it. When you're an architect, you need clients, you need builders,
but
you need millions of other people.
I would say that music really, at its root, is about collaboration.
True.
And for a long time, I'd fooled myself into like locking, you know, myself away in my room, torturing myself, trying to write a song for a week, and you know, you just go slowly mad. And then you realise it's just about collaboration. And even if you write it on your own, it's still about the audience, you know, who you're going to play it to.
But it's also coming from somewhere.
It's coming from somewhere, but it's the longer I've done it, the more I've realised it's about the communion, it's about the collaboration. And the audience is just as important as
Stop
the
it.
Creator.
Stop it, because now you're being wise as well. Yeah. All the other stuff. You're only 33, Vassal.
I know.
So wise.
33 and a third. Will he make it to the speed of an LP? Not if he hangs around here for much longer, let me tell you. George, so the new show's back on.
New show's on Sunday night, 9 o'clock, Channel 4.
All right, and you're filming some other things?
I'm filming
in a skip recently.
I was, so for the last series of Amazing Spaces, which comes out in a few weeks' time, young lad who lives in a skip in South London, kind of pushing the buttons of the housing crisis, really, saying,
right.
You know, London's a really expensive place to live, rents are unaffordable, what are we going to do about
it? You've seen this, haven't
you, Tom? The guy in the skip,
it's mad on social media.
Yeah.
It's huge.
I haven't seen, how has he adapted the skip?
he's basically kind of built this timber extension with a vaulted ceiling over the top.
Is it beautiful?
It's actually really nice, and it sits on a tiny little plot of land. This guy's got a plot near here. It's literally 2 minutes away from the Shard. And it's sitting on this little plot of land, and he lives in there.
Okay, anything else you want to say?
No, thanks for having me.
It's nice to meet you.
It's an absolute...
Come and do Carfest. Come and talk to us at Carfest.
I love that.
Bring some sheds to Carfest.
Let's
bring some architecture.
It.
Bring some structures.
Let's do it.
All right,
I'm
mate.
Well up for that, mate.
Can we have a round of applause, please, for George, if you don't mind?
Thank you very
George
much.
George Clark, How to Build a Home.
Thank you.
Out next Thursday. Pre-order it now for kids of all ages. His first, but not his last, kids book for Little Experts. A brand new series of books coming out.
Thank you very much.
Cheers, mate.
Love music? Love interviews with lovely musicians? Search Virgin Radio UK on YouTube to find brilliant album specials with some of the shiniest lights on our playlist, including George Ezra.
This is going to be something I'll remember, and that's a really lovely thing. I don't think I was able to do that in the past.
And James Bay. Come on,
lady. Don't you agree that everybody needs someone when they feel alone?
Watch all that and more at youtube.com/Virgin Radio UK.
Tom Adele's with us this morning. Hello, Tom.
Hello there.
You don't have a brand new record out by any chance, do you,
I
today?
Do.
And
do you?
What's it called?
It's called Black Friday.
Oh, good. Is there a tour on the way?
There's
at all?
A tour.
What's
the Black Friday tour.
No.
Yes.
Wow.
Starts in March.
Okay.
We had our first rehearsal yesterday.
For the tour?
For the tour.
No.
Yeah.
Where was that?
It was in Brewery Road in London.
How does that pan out? How is a rehearsal? How do you rehearse for an actual tour?
Well, we don't actually really ever rehearse.
Yes.
But we are this time. And I'm trying to create a new show.
Do you need, like, any crowd members? Does it help if we come along, we can pretend to be the crowd?
You'd be very welcome.
And we can have some banners.
Banners would be
lovely. What's the best sign somebody's written? Can you recall
any? Oh, gosh, you get all sorts of inappropriate things.
Oh, do you? Excellent. Excellent.
I can't say on the radio.
Thank you.
Yeah, you get quite a variety. Quite a lot of, can I sing with you?
Yeah.
They get a lot of that.
And you do invite that.
And occasionally we say, come on stage. And we had one in the summer where someone said, can I sing with you? And they came on stage. And then they did an amazing job. But then someone else who also wanted to sing on stage got really upset.
Ooh.
And sort of stormed backstage and was like, I was the one that wanted to sing with you. And it kind of all gets a bit weird.
That can go wrong.
But yeah, no, it's great. The crowds are just amazingly loving and supportive most of the time.
I was asked to go on The Masked Singer this year.
I've not watched that.
Hmm.
So you're wearing a mask?
Yeah, no, you wear a big outfit. It's a big outfit.
And then you reveal it. It reveals...
I don't know how it works. I mean, I watch it with the kids, but I don't get it really. The kids love it. I love it. I love it because the kids love it.
Right.
And I'm not denigrating the show because my friend is in charge of it, who used to work with me. Dan. Good morning, Dan. He's brilliant, by the way.
Right.
And the show, it's the biggest hit on TV. It's massive.
Really?
It's the most watched show on TV at the moment. And there's not much going on apart from all the fun on a Saturday night.
Yeah.
It's fun,
yeah.
Isn't it? And so Dan says, please come on the show. Please come and sing on the show. And because I've got a great costume, because what happens is there's a bit of a subtle clue in the costume as to who it might be, because you've got to guess who it is. And then, you know, have you heard the phrase take it off, because that's what the crowd sing, and then the mask comes off and it's like da, 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 da. And Natalie Imbruglia, she won the series once.
Really?
So there's some really
how do you win it?
You have to be the best singer.
You have to be the best singer.
Yeah,
so you're competing against like singers and non-singers.
So we think that, because I said no in the end. So, and Dan said, I've got this amazing outfit for you. Mm. Now, there's a character on this series that they call Dippy Egg.
Right.
Right. Now, I think I know who it is.
Right.
And I think it's another breakfast show. So I think it's Chris Moyles.
Really?
Right. Yeah. And in fact, can we play? Yes. Okay. Well, so you've got better musical ears than anybody in this building. So see what you think in a second or two. And I think they'd already commissioned the Dippy Egg costume. My Dippy Egg costume. So I think he's wearing my Dippy Egg costume.
You're a very different shape, you and Chris Moyles, though. I saw him in Miami about 2 weeks ago in having breakfast. Mm. I don't know him.
Was he having a Dippy Egg?
He may well
How
have
do you know it was definitely him?
Well, it may not have been him.
Well, I saw him a couple of weeks ago, funny enough,
not
outside where he works. Yeah.
Maybe it was 3 weeks ago.
He's smaller than me, but we're quite similar.
That's what I was going to say. He's smaller than you. You're quite tall.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he was sat down.
Well, he moved around a bit. I saw him. I was like,
was he back and forth to the breakfast buffet?
He was.
Was he?
Well, I don't know. I didn't say hello because I don't know him. But we did that thing, that really horrible thing where you sort of catch eyes with someone.
Yeah.
And then you don't quite know.
You know what he sounds like?
What does he sound like?
No, but you know his voice, though.
Oh, I you know, when I was a teenager, yeah, I'd listen to his radio show.
Right, so here is Dippy Egg singing. So Dippy Egg hasn't been on Mass yet.
Yeah.
Could be tomorrow on ITV. I think this is him. This is Dippy Egg singing on the Mass Singer.
Okay.
Well, I could hide neath the wing of a bluebird, as she said. 6 o'clock alarm would never ring, but it rings and I rise, wipe the sleep out of my eyes. The shaving razor's cold and it stinks.
Okay.
I'm not convinced.
You didn't hear the first bit. I'm going to play it again, right?
Okay.
Listen to the first line. He says, beneath my wings. It's not beneath, it's just neath my wings.
Right.
Listen to the neath. Here we go.
Well, I could hide neath the wing of a
See, blue. If I'm right and you're wrong, this means I've got better musical ears than you.
Quite possibly, yeah. Quite possibly. We have to wait and see.
Bring it on. I'm feeling quite punchy about this.
Have you had this validated by anyone? Like
nobody at all. Nobody
has anyone else said it?
No.
And do you get a feel when you watch the show? Is there like an audience that then sort of give their opinion on
Yeah, and there's some judges and things.
Some judges.
Yeah.
Mm. I want to watch this show.
All I'm saying is, it's the number one show on TV. All right. I'm saying is, and this is the only reason I'm saying this, I'm quite confident. You know what I'm like.
Yeah,
quite confident. We're based on usually nothing at all. Natalie Imbruglia, who won it 2 seasons ago, I knew it was her from the first line of the first week, and I screamed at the telly, it's Natalie Imbruglia.
Wow.
Nobody believed me. And 6 weeks later, it was the final. She begins to, oh, take it off, take it off. Yeah. Oh, it's Natalie Imbruglia. Oh, get out of here.
Yeah.
But
I think you're actually, you know, how long have you been on the radio, Chris?
41 years.
So, you know, you've been on the radio for 41 years, listening to music every single morning on evening for a bit.
All times a day, middle of the night.
All times a day. For 41 years, you've probably listened to more music than...
Are you trying to say I'm deaf and I have no idea what I'm talking about?
Quite the opposite. I think you're in a great position to be the judge of this.
I know, well.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, that call I might answer to be the judge. I think it's Chris Morse. Anyway.
I'm interested why you don't think it's him.
Tom.
It's very it's quite difficult, isn't it? Because it's quite a it's difficult to tell you why that. It just doesn't sound like him. Yeah. His voice sounds too high. That's what I think.
I think he's doing it on purpose. I think he's trying to disguise his voice.
He always used to sing, didn't he, on the radio?
This is what I'm saying.
Yeah, so he could definitely sing.
He can hold a tune.
Are you proud of your singing voice?
Proud? I'm not proud of anything.
Oh, that's...
No, I don't like pride. I'm pleased with things. I'm pleased with how things go. I'm happy that if things go well. I'm satisfied if we have struggled for an achievement and we pulled it off and we sort of deserve to. But pride can go and do one as far as I'm concerned. Sorry, that was too long. I'm quite anti-pride, can you say?
I'll take that.
I'm not anti-pride our radio station, but Virgin Radio Pride pops up every now and again and broadcasts in beautiful unicorn technicolour gorgeousness. Mm. I'm not anti that kind of pride.
No.
Why would you brandy that kind of pride?
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Unless you want to get cancelled. What?
Are you pleased with your singing voice?
Thrilled. I'm over the moon.
Yeah, I've never heard you sing, actually.
Well,
maybe now's the moment. What would you sing if you could sing?
What do you mean if I could? I can sing.
No, if you could sing now. If you could sing now.
I can sing now. It's my show.
I'm just offering. I'm a mediocre piano player. You've got a microphone.
Oh, yo, you mean actually with you?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. I don't know. This is too much
now. I mean, what's the song? I always get asked in like interviews, like, what's the song that best defines you? And I always go, I freeze. I think. There's so many songs I love.
Yeah,
it's so difficult.
Me too. I'm the same.
Yeah,
I'm the same as you. No, because the thing is, as a request, so what do you do here? Do you lie? Do I lie to you and say, the name of the song that I might be able to sing best,
yeah,
or the song that I really like the most, or whatever.
Two very different things. What you'd pick in a karaoke.
Yeah.
And what...
See, by the way, in anticipation of me singing, the microphone stand has just fallen over, right? And taken its own life. that has just happened. It's like, no, that can't happen. And literally, the microphone stand and the microphone has fallen on its own sword. Please don't sing into me, Evans.
Back up again.
Yeah.
Because I think what you'd sing in a karaoke and what you'd listen to are two.
Yeah, and also
things.
There's ways of scamming it. So if I was going to go on The Masked Singer, I was going to sing Hallelujah a cappella.
Ah.
It's not a cappella. Do you not know what a cappella means?
I'm sorry.
Yeah. It means song music. You know that.
Sorry, Chris. I didn't hear you. I heard what I wanted to hear. Which was play the piano, Tom.
You were listening, but you weren't hearing.
Yes.
I was going to sing that.
I always think go low. My advice to karaoke singers, go low.
Excuse me?
Yeah, because it's always sound better.
Tom, I'm not talking karaoke, mate.
Huh?
I'm not talking karaoke.
You're not talking karaoke?
No.
Professional?
Well, I think you sort of relegated me to the category of a bum.
Have you ever put out a single?
Shut up.
Because I actually then suddenly thought to myself, oh my God.
Have you ever hosted a game show?
I'd actually quite like to. You know, we started because my friend Max told me to watch Traitors and we watched one episode, right? Yeah. And I hated it. And then Georgie last night, this is hence why I couldn't actually sleep because we ended up staying up really late and watching it. She was like, oh, we should watch another episode. And we watched another episode and now I'm completely
hooked. Oh, you're on board.
Yeah.
So you're locked in.
Yeah. It's kind of like a bit sadistic, I think, the whole thing.
Yeah,
like,
I think that's...
The idea is...
Well, then the clue's in the title, isn't it? Traitors.
Yeah. But you know when they say, like, I'm going to murder you? It's like...
I've never seen it.
Really? It's kind of... It's fascinating. It's definitely a sort of... Yeah, it's good.
I'm too busy in my home studio recording my
What I just felt bad because actually you have these kind of trivial conversations about singing and you make light of it and you're a professional presenter and DJ and all these other things. And then it's like you realise that actually you'd put out an album 10 years ago and I'm like, oh, and I'm making light of it.
No, don't worry about that.
Okay, cool.
No, he hasn't. Don't worry about that.
I know. And then you feel really bad afterwards.
Yeah, don't worry about it. Can you sing for us now?
Yes, sure.
All right. Can you sing for us?
I'll sing.
You sing for us. You do the singing. Should we have another track from the new album?
Yeah, great. Yeah.
Okay, so Black Friday is out today. The Black Friday tour tickets and more information at tomadell.com. What are you going to play for us next, my friend?
This is called The End.
Oh, it's gorgeous, man.
I was 20 days clean yesterday. I'd get a key ring if I make it through to May. Can we talk? Is that okay? If you've got time, I know a place.
Oh, yeah. Round of applause, please.
Wow.
Thank you.
Great, man. This is all brand new. It's all hot stuff, man. How to Build a Home was little George Clark's book. Great product out today and doing all the heavy lifting today. Tom O'Dell, Black Friday out today. The Black Friday tour tickets and more. That's The End from the brand new album. That line about Taylor Hawkins and then you were watching somebody else play the drums live. Was that at Wembley Stadium? Was that
yeah,
for
his
the big...
son playing. Yeah.
Was that the gig at Wembley?
The Foo Fighters gig, yeah.
Yeah.
When they and he got his son up.
Did you go or did you watch
no,
it on
No, I watched it on YouTube. And...
Right.
Someone sent it to me and I just it broke me.
Of course it did.
Yeah unbelievably tragic and inspiring at the same time.
Often things like that happen. I mean, that's the greatest movement of a human being, isn't it? When you are broken, like you say, and you are so, you couldn't be more inspired and you couldn't be more broken at the same time. I think that is empathy. Isn't that one of the, that's the ultimate definition of empathy, when you're crying both tears of sadness and joy, because you can be joyful in despair.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think that's the, what you just said there is the very essence of what inspires me to make music. That's it right there.
Your album made me cry last night.
Oh,
it just overwhelmed me. I was overwhelmed because I was on my own, and you know, I do like watching films on my own. I love listening to music on my own. Obviously, I love reading on my own, and I didn't know why I was crying. There was obviously something going on with me yesterday, and it just, your music allowed me to release whatever it was. And I wasn't blubbing. I could have done. You know, when you can press the accelerator. Mm. And I didn't. I just eased off. I thought, no, you can't. You've got to go to bed. You've got to get some sleep. Tom's on the show tomorrow. I don't know. It's great.
Yeah. Oh, thank you very much. That means a lot.
So I was talking to you about this Rolling Stones documentary.
Mm. What's, remind me, Monterey, is it called?
Yeah, no, well, the thing is, so last week, Tash and I were wondering what to watch on Friday and Saturday night because we have a little movie night. And we're finding movies less and less engaging.
Right.
Just because we're in a different place and space at the moment. Someone's brilliant. Watched Saltburn the other day. That was great. And, you know, various other things. And so I chanced upon Rolling Stone magazines, Rolling Stone magazine's top 73 music documentaries of all time. I just thought, okay, this could be the next 73 evenings. Yeah. And do you know what it is? We're just going to watch every single one.
And it's called Monterey.
No, so number 8 out of the 73 is Monterey.
Right.
It's just a documentary about Monterey.
Oh, it's sees, so you're going to work for it. Yeah,
yeah. And we're going to pin the tail on a donkey. So last week we watched number 10, Some Kind of Monster, which is the Metallica documentary.
Right.
Which is phenomenal.
Really? And what's number one?
Don't Look Back, Bob Dylan.
Yeah, that's the Scorsese one.
No, it's the original documentary from 67.
Oh, yeah. And is that where he's on the streets in England?
Yep.
And he's sort of reeling off lists.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, I'm just anything Dylan, I'm obsessed with.
Here we go. So, I mean, look, here we go. Top 73 music documentaries of all time by Rolling Stone. You can't go wrong, really. I love Rolling Stone magazine. Have you heard their podcast?
I haven't, no.
They pick an album.
Right.
And they get somebody who is involved in an album, sometimes the actual artists themselves.
Right.
And if the artist is too big or no longer with us, they'll get like the engineer who was there. And it's just 35, 40 minutes of what was it like when that album is.
Yeah.
Oh, God, yeah. Number one, Don't Look Back, 1967. Number two, The Last Waltz. Number three, Gimme Shelter. Number four, Stop Making Sense, which apparently is unbelievable. Mm. Number five, Amazing Grace. Number six, The Decline of Western Civilization. Number seven, Cobain, Montage of Heck. Number eight, Monterey Pop, 1968. Number nine, Homecoming. Number 10, Metallica, Some Kind of Monster. Two hours. We got part two of that this weekend.
I'm ashamed to say I've seen barely any of those.
Yeah, but it's great, though, isn't it?
Yeah, that's exciting.
I haven't seen any of them until last week. I didn't even know that list existed.
Did you watch Maestro?
We started to watch Maestro and we stopped watching it.
Oh, no. You know what I think about that?
Yeah.
Is that we did the same.
Mm.
And then through some, you know, weird miracle of courage, divine courage, we pushed through. Because I felt the same way.
Yeah, first, well, you're the second person to say exactly this to me. The other one being Showbiz John, who you know.
And I was sobbing at the end.
All right, okay, I'm going to watch it. I'm going to watch it.
You push through because I think it's so beautiful and it's worth, you know, you've got to put a little bit of investment in.
I just didn't like, it was too snappy
in
the first 20 minutes. It was too snappy and a bit arch and a bit stylized for its own good.
Yeah.
I thought, oh, this is all style over content.
Yeah.
And I was wrong. I'm always wrong about everything.
There's a bit at the about, you know, three quarters of the way through the film, it just punches you.
And, okay, done.
The other one I'd recommend, Anatomy of a Fall. Have you seen Anatomy of a Fall? That I would highly recommend. Probably my favourite film of the last.
Well, we had Matthew Vaughn in earlier on this week talking about his new film, Argyle, with Sam Rockwell, who's the star of it.
Matthew Vaughn.
Yeah, he's great.
Such a good actor.
Great.
Yeah.
No, he's the director.
Oh. Who am I thinking of then?
You're thinking of Matthew McConaughey? I don't know, or...
Oh, yeah, maybe. I think of the guy in Succession, actually, I think.
Yeah.
Matthew McFadden,
who looks a bit like Showbiz John. Yeah. Handsome in a sort of quiet, cool, kind of get under the radar way, I would say. Married to Keely Hawes.
Yes, that's right, yeah.
No, so Matthew Vaughn produced Lock, Stock and Two Smoking Barrels with Guy Ritchie.
Yeah.
And he directed the Kingsman movies and Kick-Ass.
Yes,
and lots
amazing.
Of other great films.
Yeah.
So his new film is called Argyle. Sam Rockwell's in it, and Sam and Matthew and myself and Vassos, we were talking about one film to watch. And we were saying, it depends what kind of mood you're in. It's not really a question. It is a question. Oh, it's very hard to answer. Don't really want to answer it. Can you please unask it? And on the way home, I thought, nailed on Magnolia. Definitely my favourite film of all time.
Magnolia?
Yeah.
Really? Good film. Is that where the frogs
rain
down?
100%.
Yeah.
It's like watching seven films in one.
Yeah. And that's... Who directed that?
Not Wes Anderson. Yes, him.
Paul Thomas Anderson.
Yeah, Paul Thomas Anderson.
Who also did Phantom Thread. Have you seen that?
I haven't seen that.
That's a beautiful Beautiful. Paul Thomas Anderson.
I love it. I love
just
it.
Just carries on.
I love it. Have you seen Shortcuts by Robert Altman?
No.
Right. Shortcuts isn't available anywhere. You can't watch it anywhere. We don't have a CD player and we don't have the CD. DVD, rather. But you can't watch it anywhere. And I'm thinking, there must be a reason for it. I just remember that being the most amazing film, Shortcuts. About 9-10 films. Anyway, moving on. All right, so we're going to watch... I'm going to revisit, and I promise, Maestro this weekend.
Yeah, do it.
And you check out Rolling Stone's greatest music documentaries of all time.
Yeah, great.
And see how it goes. Yeah. All right, time for one more song, please?
Yes, yeah.
What do you have for us?
I was going to do an old one, Grow Old With Me, the old song.
All right, here we go. Tom O'Dell, Live from the Top of the Tower. By the way, you can see all this on YouTube very soon. We're filming it all. And it's all good to go. One more time, Tom O'Dell.
Grow old with me. Let us share what we see. And the best it could be. Just you and I.
Tom, can you say after everything? Is that all right? It was all right. It was really all right, wasn't it, gang? It was the most all right. So when you say things, something like that, like I'll play one of the old ones. How are old songs for artists that are still very current and at the top of the game? How is that relationship?
With my old songs?
Yeah.
Yeah, I love them. I love them. Just as much as the new ones, really.
And is there a pecking order? Does it change?
Yeah, I mean, there's some actually I don't like. I'll be honest with you. There's quite a few I don't like.
But you may like them again.
Maybe one day. Maybe. So I think when I look back to my past, there's lots of things like I don't, you know, I cringe at lots of songs I'm not proud of, but I would say that I always took great care of the words and I took great care of the writing, and sometimes the production I'm not that happy with, and sometimes the singing I'm not that happy with, but I always took care of the writing, and that I'll always keep that, because I think it means that when I come on here and I sing an old song, I'm proud of it. And
yeah,
I shouldn't be proud of it, but
you know, it's up to you.
But I have conviction, you know.
And you're caring of it, aren't you?
Yeah, I care of it, and so I still believe it. But I would say they change and they grow.
Thank God.
And I feel like I have a, you know, different relationship with them now. And each time you sing them slightly differently.
Mate, it's great. It's also, it's the best thing to have you with us this morning.
It's really great to be
Tom
here.
O'Dell, Harry's leaving today. Should we sing Harry? Are we going to sing Happy Birthday? We're going to sing Harry Birthday. We're going to sing Hare Krishna. We're going to sing Happy Krishna. We don't get any Harry Carry going on. Shall we sing? Should we all get in? Let's get around the piano and sing Happy Birthday to Harry, who's leaving today. It's also his birthday today. Actually, do you know what? It looks like he's already left.
Yeah.
Because he's nowhere to be seen.
There he is.
Come on. Come on now. Come on. This doesn't happen every day, does it? He must be a special boy. He's a special boy. How about happy birthday from Tom O'Dell and the gang?
Yes.
Why don't you get next to Tom there? It's almost like it's Michael Bublé and a Christmas special. And you're the baby Jesus. Should we go for it? Okay. I get next to Tom there. Tom, do you mind leading the charge?
Yeah, do you want to take the microphone? Yeah. Well, you should see it to yourself.
No, that'd be a bit weird. Yeah, Tom's clearly lost his mind.
Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday,
dear Harry. Right, now we're in the pub, it's midnight and it's much quicker. Happy birthday to you. Yeah. Yeah. But right, should I stay or should I go? Ba-ba-na-na-na-na-na-na. He's going, you're going, aren't you?
I am.
That's it. Harry is leaving the building. Oh. But not until the end of his shift at 5 o'clock this afternoon. Round of applause to Tom and Dan, everyone.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter.
Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.